video clip that we've just watched so beautifully encapsulates what I believe God wants me to bring today. I believe He wants me to bring a message that is filled with that excitement, the adventure that has both highs and lows. I believe God wants me to speak about a message today about those who are cheering from the sidelines and what that takes. And the joy, not only for those when they triumph, but actually it is a joint triumph. And who is there that joins in that collective win? Today is really a conversation. Is it okay if we just have a chat? Is that okay? So let me just say, a chat means you say something back. Okay, so this is what this morning is. I want it to be a chat. I want it to be a conversation. I want to invite you essentially into a conversation God has been having with me during this last season. And I pray that this conversation both blesses you. I hope it inspires you. I hope it challenges you. But above all else, I hope this conversation sparks a conversation off between you and God. And for some of you, you may not even be aware that you could talk to God. And if you're here for the first time and that's the first time you're hearing that, I hope that you go away and you literally enter in to a dialogue between you and your Heavenly Father. But I want to invite you into a conversation that God's been having with me. So some time ago, I felt like God gave me a promise that was so big that it not only impacted me then, but it has impacted every single day that has followed. It is a promise that has changed my life and shaped my days. Now, I've seen that promise in glimpses, and I've seen it in part, but I'm yet to experience that promise in full. And I'm here to say to you publicly, I am believing and standing on the promises of God, and I hope you are too. But I just kind of had this chat with God, and I had a prayer. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I don't recommend this prayer. I'll share. It should come with a warning. I'm just telling you, I don't know if you've ever prayed a silly prayer before. So I was like, just feeling a little bit jubilant, I think. I don't know what was going on. And I was like, dear Jesus, would you teach me how to fight? I mean, I was serious. I was like, would you teach me how to fight? I used to watch boxing with my dad. It was one of the best times I used to enjoy with my dad, because normally with my dad, I would have to do things with him, but that would mean I had a job. So if I went fishing, I had to bait the hook. Or if I did all different kinds with him, there would be some kind of element of me working. So I used to love watching boxing with him, because it was like the one time where I just got to be with him and sit. And maybe I had to get him a snack or two, but that was about it. So I used to love watching boxing with my dad. And I kind of just got carried away. And actually, by the way, these are my gloves. All the boys backstage were like, "Sure, are these yours?" I'm like, yes, they are. They are. Like, if I'm going to wear gloves, if you're listening, the pink. So come on now. And let me just tell you, they don't smell too pretty. And they are covered with my blood inside. So these are working gloves. I just need you to say, these aren't gloves for show. I mean, I have used these suckers. Let me tell you. Okay? So these gloves, I said, Lord, teach me how to fight. What a silly prayer. Do you know how you learn how to fight? You have to have a battle or two. And so I was like, why am I having all these fights? And he's like, honey, do you remember what you asked? You asked me to teach you how to fight. And there's only so much you can learn in practice, but actually, I'm going to teach you how to fight. I think one of the biggest lies that we tell people about following Jesus, about being a Christian, is that it is void of battles. I think we have this expectation that if you are a Christian, there will be no battles. That the sign of how good a Christian you are is symbolic of how few fights you fight. And I'm just going to tell you, that's not the case. It isn't the case. Otherwise, I'm in serious trouble, okay? I'm here to say that actually I believe a hallmark of somebody who follows Jesus is not the lack of battle, but it's how they conduct themselves in the battle. It is the authority that they walk with. It's how they speak. It's the understanding of whose they are when they come into the presence of a battle. I don't know what your battle sometimes looks like, whether it's frustration, but it comes in all different shapes and sizes, whether it be health, whether it be of your mind or of your spirit. But I kind of said, Lord, would you teach me how to fight? And then I found myself before God, and I got to tell you that when I got these boxing gloves out, God whispered to me and he said, Siobhan, you have taken your gloves off. It's been a long time since I've worn these gloves. Some messages are easier to preach because you're further away from them. Let me tell you, this message that I'm preaching today, it comes from the midst. I'm still waiting for my promise, and I felt like God said, you need to put these back on because I'm about to teach you. Do you know when you ask God a question, but you kind of think you know the answer? So I was like, Lord, teach me how to fight. And I'm like, I know how to fight. I've watched enough matches. I was like, yeah, move fast. You know, keep your hands up. I was kind of like, I know how to do it. And then I realized after I felt like I'd been wounded that I didn't stop to listen to the fatherly advice. And so I felt like God pulled me in a time where I was saying to him, Lord, that last round nearly knocked me out. You might not know this, but over the last year or so, I have had such an incredible battle with my heart. And there's debate on what caused it, whether it was a virus, whether I'm prone to sudden death. Oh, that's a good title there for you. I'm like, you need to think of a cheerful name. That's quite, you know, that sounds severe. So, but anyway, I don't know what caused it, but I was retelling the Father, as if he didn't know, this battle that had gone through. And I was like, Lord, I know you want me to put the gloves back on, but this battle has nearly seen me off. And I started to open up my heart to him, and he pulled me in. And over the last few months, he has been whispering fatherly wisdom in my ear. And so now I'm listening. Now I'm attentive. Lord, teach me how to fight. And I believe God has got something on me that allows me the privilege and the honor to help others in their storm. And so I got carried away. We have a room in our house called The Snug. It's kind of like a conservatory type space. We kind of snuggle up in there. And I was there with God. I was praying. If the house was empty, the neighbors must think I'm mad because I'm preaching to the most saved dog in the world. You know, I'm like, seriously, I'm like just there with God. And then I felt like God really started to break a message in me to bring me some fatherly advice. And I grabbed my phone and I started to record this message on my phone so that I wouldn't forget it, so that when the time comes for me to bring this wisdom, I would remember what he'd said. So I'm like here, preaching to the dog, preaching to the phone. I'm like, this is the message. And you know, in the Bible, there's so many times where there's a battle that happens. And what happens is they name the battle, or they name the place where the battle has taken place. And so I was kind of thinking about this heart stuff that I'd gone through, and I was like, okay. And I'd kind of preached my heart out with all this wisdom that I felt like God had dropped into my spirit. I just want to say that, you know, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, to ask for it, and he'll give it to you, like, in heaps. So ask him for wisdom if you feel like you lack some. And so he just poured this on my heart. I preached the message, and I'm tying it together on my phone just for note's sake. You know, I'm like, okay, if I was going to name this message, if I was going to name this battle, I would name it The Last Frame. And let me tell you, I was so pleased with myself. I was like, if you'd heard the message that I'd preached to the phone, The Last Frame is like it makes total sense. And then suddenly, I felt God say something to me so profoundly that it actually rendered me speechless. I know it's hard to believe, but it did happen, honestly. So I was there like, okay, this is the message, and I'm going to call it The Last Frame. And as I said those words, I felt God drop something in my spirit that was so profound and so loud that it caught me off guard. And I felt like God said, if Andy, so Andy's my husband, for those of you who don't know, if Andy were to preach this message, he would call it praying from the sidelines. And I was kind of a little bit irritated with God because it's like, you're kind of just ruining the moment here. Like, you've thrown a spanner in the works. Like, did you like the message? And he's like, Siobhan, the message is brilliant. I was like, okay. Did you like the name? Yeah, the name's good. So why is Andy naming the message? Like, I just don't understand this. So he's like, no, I'm not saying he's gonna. I'm just saying if he were to, he would name it Praying from the Sidelines. So I was like, okay, we've just been back from a conference and there was like a husband and a wife team that preached a message. And so I'm thinking, does he want Andy to preach this message with me? Is this what you're asking? And I'm just having like a dirt moment. You might be thinking there, Siobhan, it's so obvious. But you know, this can be some things in your life that are so obvious, yet you don't see them. And so revelation is when God shows you something that is there, but for you it's hidden and he reveals it to you. And so I feel like this was a revelation moment for me because I'm like, okay, why? Tell me, why is Andy naming the message? Okay, I'm listening. And all of a sudden I remembered something. I'd not been out of hospital long and had quite an invasive test where they like make a small hole in one of your veins in your wrists and they put a camera through your vein and follow it into your heart. My daughter's going, whoa, just hold on. And so, but my veins spasmed, and so it was just, I cannot tell you the pain that I was in. And so I'd just come out of hospital, I was lying in bed, I was going to go to sleep, and I was feeling super sorry for myself, like really I was. And so then Andy gets into bed, and this next bit, I just want you to say, keep being my friend, okay? I have said all the sorries that I need to say. I am a good person, but this is what happened. I just want to be real with you. He gets into bed, and when I'm tired, I want space. Like, I like to sleep like a starfish, like space. So he gets into bed, and he reaches out, and he puts his hand on my shoulder, and I'm like, oh. I know that makes me sound so bad. Like, he reaches over and he rests his hand on my shoulder, and I'm like, I want to sleep. I want space. And I'm not saying anything, but I'm sure you can feel the vibes. Do you know what I mean? And so he's not saying anything either. And his hand rests upon my shoulder, and I feel the weight of his hand. And I'm like, how heavy is your hand? Like, are you kidding? Like, okay, stroke my shoulder, but your hand is like so heavy. I'm trying to sleep. And you know when you think, just ignore the hand. And it just rests there with a weight. And I'm having this internal dialogue with myself. No one's saying a word. So then all of a sudden, it dawns on me, I bet he's praying for me. And I'd love to say that I was like, oh, I bet he's praying for me. I was like, oh, just pray and get done. Like, do you know, I mean, I'm like, I have said my sorries, people, come on. So I was like, okay. Anyway, so praise the Lord. It wasn't a long prayer. I was like, hand goes back. I'm like, sleep. Okay. And Jesus, God just reminded me. He said, do you remember that? I was like, yeah, I remember it. Thanks. He's like, do you remember the weight of his hand? Like, yeah, I remember the weight of his hand. Let me tell you, that was the weight of his prayer. And then something happened where God revealed to me something that crushed me, actually. Because he said, Siobhan, do you remember the prayer? And I was like, I remember it. Do you remember saying thank you? No, I don't. And then I realized that not only did I not say thank you, but I didn't even care that he was praying. That is a horrible thing to admit to yourself and have to be revealed. And I rang Andy up. He was at work. He has no idea what's happening in the snug at home. And I'm like, sweetheart, do you remember when you prayed for me? He's like, darling, you're going to have to jog my memory. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, do you remember? You reached out this. And I'm telling him the story. And he went, sweetheart, I have prayed for you every night. And so I said, well, let me thank you now for every time you prayed. And let me say to you, I am sorry that I didn't say thank you then. I'm saying sorry that I didn't care then or see that not only was I in the battle, but you were in it with me. You know, I wouldn't choose that battle. Let me tell you, it picked me. It's not like I went to a shelf and went, I'll take that battle. No, not that one. I'll take this one. Like, it picked me, people. It did. But you know, last week Ben spoke an incredible message, and if you haven't heard it, I suggest you do, about the shepherd spirit. And he said about the shepherd carries a spirit that when he sees a battle, he runs towards the battle. And I'm so thankful that not only does my husband, but my friends and my family carry shepherd spirits too. Because I didn't pick that battle, but they did. And they picked a battle that I wouldn't have picked and came and stood alongside me and have prayed. And I just want to say to you, for all those shepherds, I believe this message is for you. I believe God has sent me here today to thank you. And I have not stopped crying, but not like sad tears, just this joy that the God has poured into my heart as a thank you for all those times you ran to a battle that wasn't yours. Pain brings tunnel vision. There's something about pain that cuts you off and stops you from seeing wide. For those of you who have given birth naturally, you will know. I'm quite a private person, so I'm like, you know, I'm not one of these, you know, people who just walk around the house like, I'm towel, quick, run to the bedroom. That's who I am. But let me tell you, when I was giving birth and the nurse was saying, can this doctor, I was like, send in who you like. Like, I didn't care. There could have been a herd of elephants coming through that delivery suite and I would not have cared. I wouldn't have probably known. So let me tell you something about pain that focuses you right in. If you've ever broken your leg or had anything of acute pain, it brings a tunnel vision. Andy has been there all along, as so has many, but when I'm in pain, I don't see it. And so this message really comes to find whether you're somebody like a shepherd who's run to someone else's battle, and I feel like God wanted me to say, thank you, I see you. Or whether you're the person in the battle, I believe God's asking me to say there is a lie from the enemy to say that you're alone and you're not. And if you're in this battle, I believe God is saying, lift your head, look to your left and your right, because I have sent shepherds to pray for you. I have sent shepherds to comfort you, to give you wisdom. And this is just beautiful story in the Bible in Exodus 17, 8 to 16. And I'm going to read it for you. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, I think that's how you say it, Rephidim, the warrior, don't nobody tell. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek came and attacked them. So I want to bring you to, the people have just left their captivity. They've just left Egypt. They've gone through the Red Sea. They're now on the other side. They're rejoicing. This is, there was this triumph song. And then they start to journey from that point to their promised land. And so it's a kind of a journey of camp, wonder, camp, wonder. That's kind of how like the journey goes. And I don't know if you've ever traveled with people, but if the journey carries on a little bit too long, they kind of start to moan a little. That's kind of what God's people did. So they have this huge miracle. The waters pass. They walk through the Red Sea. They have this song like, yeah, we did it. You know, we're coming home. See, I knew I'd get something in there somewhere. Anyway, we get through, and then they start moaning. Oh, we're hungry. Okay, and then he sorts it out, gives them manna, gives them quail. Oh, we're thirsty. All right, and then there's wells, and there's some water that's bitter, and they chuck a tree in there, and then it's sweet, and then they walk along a little bit, and then it's like, we're thirsty again. And Moses is like, oh, you know. So they get to this place called Rephidim, where they camp again. And at this spot, they're moaning again that they're thirsty. And so there's this miracle where God strikes the rock. Moses strikes the rock on the command of God. And water comes out of the rock. And they all drink and they're refreshed. And they're just sitting in this moment of, oh, we've just had water from a rock. And they've just been refreshed. And then come along the Amalekites to attack them. And so this is where you find the story. And so Moses commands Joshua, come, choose some men, go out and go fight the army of the Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua And there's something in the Bible when they mention somebody for the first time. Can I just tell you, this is the first time Joshua has been mentioned. Joshua later on actually takes over from Moses. And so I just want you to bear in mind, this is the first battle that they've had since they've left Egypt. And this is the first time Joshua has been mentioned. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded. He got some people, got together, and went to go and fight. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hands, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever his hands dropped, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. And so Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. They then stood on each side of Moses, holding his hands up. And his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army in battle. After the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, "Write this down in a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it to Joshua. I will erase the memory of the Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar there and named it Yahweh Nissi, which means, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "They have raised their fist against the Lord's throne, so now the Lord will be at war with the Amalek generation after generation." Some of you think that God's going to be tired because he's been with you for one battle. That's not his promise. His promise is that he will win the war. Not only will you win the battle, but you will win the war. And I just was thinking about Moses. And what I love about this story, I could get carried away telling the story because the imagery in the story is beautiful. Honestly, it really is. Joshua's name actually means "the Lord delivers." Okay, Aaron's name actually means strength of a mountain. Right? And Ur means liberty. So you've got freedom, you've got the strength of a mountain, you've got Jesus on the battlefield. Like, honestly, the imagery in the story is so powerful. There is nothing that goes to waste in the Bible. Every word means something. And what I loved about, so he's here. I tried to see how long I could hold my hands like out for, and it's not very long. It's like minutes. So it says he soon became tired. I wonder how soon was. Yep, I'm done. Okay, I mean, how soon, soon? Then they say that Aaron and Ur got him a rock to sit on. So I was like, a rock's pretty heavy. Like, why not get him a chair? Like, was there not a donkey nearby that he could have sat on? Like, why a rock? Or why not make a human pyramid and just sit on me? Like, you'll be fine. I'm going to have to go and get a rock. But isn't it funny? He's now sitting on a rock. And just before this, he actually struck the rock and water came out. So he needs refreshing and he's sitting on the very thing that has just refreshed them. And Jesus, it says in the Bible that he is our rock, that he's our firm foundation. And so in the middle of this battle, he's sitting on a place that's not only a foundation and a rock, but a place that refreshes. I mean, I was just like, you're just showing off, God. Now, are you serious? Like, everything in here is just amazing. But I'm like thinking about Moses and his arms being held up. I'm a practical girl. I was like, why couldn't they just take turns? Okay, so you hold it for a bit. Get the, you know, blood flowing back in my arms. And okay, Aaron, it's your turn. Now listen, guys, I've been holding this for like 10 minutes now. You're taking the mic. You need to take. Why did they not take turns? Like, seriously, why has Moses got to hold it till sunset? I'm like, Lord, that's a pretty tall ask. Because there are some things in your life that is a call on your life. He's not asked somebody else to do it. He's asked you to do it. And although he'll bring people alongside you, they can't do what he has asked you to do. And so I just believe that he's in the midst of this battle, and his friends have come along to his side, and they are now holding his arms up. They've brought him a rock to sit on. But my question is, I wonder, because it doesn't say in this story, did Moses have the presence of mind to say, thank you? I just wonder in the midst of this, you know, Aaron and Hur have served him. They have gone and brought a rock. They are now holding, which must be an awkward position. He's, you know, Moses is holding the staff outright, but Aaron and Hur on either side of him holding his arms. I bet it wasn't long before their arms started to ache. But I wonder, as Moses' arms were shaking and muscle fatigue is setting in, I wonder whether he turned to say, I see you. Thank you for running to my aid. Thank you for holding my hands. I'll pray for your arms as you pray for my arms. Like, I wonder if that was a dialogue that was happening, because pain brings a tunnel vision. The title to this message is, He's in your corner. Did you know that not only is Jesus Christ in your corner, but I believe with all my heart that He has sent others, He has sent shepherds to be in your corner. And you might be saying to me, Siobhan, I don't think He has. I want to ask you to look again. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, He will reveal to you those shepherds that He has sent your way, so that you can pray for them as they're praying for you, because they chose your battle. They chose to be there. Jesus just, He's just the best teacher. There's a verse in John 19, 25 to 27. And it says, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother standing there beside the disciple He loved, He said to her, dear woman, here is your son. And He said to this disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. I want you to come to the point that Jesus is on the cross. He has been whipped. He has been bruised. He has been tortured. He has been mocked. And He's now got nails going through His wrists and His feet. And He is hanging in one of the most painful positions you could ever imagine. Every breath hurts. And He's about to have every single sin that has ever been committed and that will ever be committed placed on Him, while God looks away for a moment so that He can get everything we deserve. I just want you to come and think realistically. Think of all the things you have done in your life that haven't been great. Now think of all the things you've seen on the news. Now think of all the horrific things that we have done to each other as a people. I mean, can you imagine the sin that is about to be laid on His heart and have God look away while that's placed on Him? And in the midst of His greatest battle, He is about to go to the pits of hell and fight and conquer death. But in the midst of that, with every painful breath, He sees His mother. He hasn't got tunnel vision. He sees His mom, and He's aware of her grief. And He sees His disciple who He loves, and He's aware that he's grieving. In the midst of His anguish, He sees them, and He says, Mom, meet your son. Son, meet your mom. Because He knows they're going to need each other. Jesus is our example. In the midst of our battles, we need to be able to see. We need to be able to see all those around us and love them and thank them. And so today, really, as I wanted to say, the banner over you is love. The banner over you is the Lord. He is your victory. He is going to win this battle and the next battle and the next battle, because He is victorious and the war is already won. But we need to have a hallmark of walking through life like Jesus did. And so in the midst, I believe there are times where we need to run and hold somebody else's arm up. And then there are times we need to acknowledge those who are holding ours up. And often those are happening at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive. But I just pray that we would be a people who see as he sees, and that we would have a grateful spirit. Sometimes you can go through a battle and you go, what have I got to be thankful for? Have a look to your left. Have a look to your right. Look above you. The banner of the Lord is over you. The victory is his. I'm going to invite the band up now, and we're going to come into a time of prayer. Just at the back in the corridor, just behind you, there's a table with lots of pieces of paper there. And I want to ask you that if there is somebody in your life who has come and stood by you or who is standing by you, why not write them a thank you? Why not say to them, I see you and thank you for coming to my side. Thank you for praying for me while I slept.